saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ooh, I'm finding myself in a lust for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet to hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
My friend Zach and I got a bull this week, praise the Lord, and I have to tell you, it really matches what we're talking about today, in the sense of sometimes we call and we don't know if we get an answer. If you've ever moose hunted before, you might know that the most effective, and this is debatable, you know, people have called in bulls chopping wood because it just close enough to the rhythmic sound of antlers scraping on trees that sometimes the bulls even call to that, respond to that. But cow calls is what I've been told is the best way to bring in a moose. And so I've kind of gone from scraping and bull grunting to almost exclusively cow calls. And so the place where we're hunting, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd step outside before I even made coffee, and I'd cow call. And then after breakfast, I'd cow call. And then before I got on my four-wheeler, I'd cow call. And then when we came back for lunch, cow call. And then after lunch, maybe before a nap, what do? All right. So we did that Sunday night when we got there. We did that Monday, in and out, trying to hunt. It was nice and calm. And so in the stand, you can cow call, but there's just nothing, despite the stillness, despite the fact that it's a very moosey spot, right? No response. Tuesday morning, it's windy, it's cold, it's a little wet, nothing, no activity, no moose. There was a little rustle in the tree and a splash into the lake the night before, but nothing this morning. And so we go out to our hunting spots, to our stands, and cow call, but it's windy and nobody can hear anything. So we go back for lunch and we cow call and we go and we take a brief nap, right? We're waking up and it's even windier now. And so we're discouraged and we're like, I guess we can go and just travel the trails, do a little trail maintenance, and maybe if we get lucky, you know, we'll just stumble onto a moose who's just kind of walking the trails between the trees, staying out of sight. And as I'm saying this, I stand up and I look, and not 50 yards away, there's a bull who was in almost the exact spot I'd been cow calling every time I had a chance, every time I stepped out of the cabin. And part of me thought, you know, how many times have we been hunting or crying out, doing these kind of calls, and we just didn't catch the response, right? How many times have I done this exact same thing in this exact same place and didn't happen to look in that spot for that 30, maybe even 15 seconds before the moose went up and walked back into the woods, right? And just got back on the four-wheeler and went somewhere else and never actually heard it, never bothered to listen for if someone was responding. At the very beginning of our scripture, not the scripture for this reading, but our scripture, the Bible, God speaks and creation responds. God says, let there be light, and there was, right? And that's how creation starts. Abraham, God has identified and called out to him, and God says, go to this land of Canaan that you have never been to before, and I will establish you. I will bless you to be a nation that is a blessing to all the other nations, set apart as God's covenant people. And Abraham responds. And throughout his life, Abraham called out to God, and God showed up in magnificent ways, blessing him and his wife and his children and his entire household. The time of Moses, the people cried out to God, asking him to remember those promises he spoke to their ancestor Abraham. And so God, in response, cries out to Moses. And Moses continues to speak and listen and call and respond to the people of God, to God himself. And God continues to speak to Moses and to the people. Call and response is the very foundation of God's relationship with his creation. It is the very foundation of God's relationship with the perhaps most precious part of his creation, which is us, men and women created in God's image. Sometimes God is the one doing the calling, and it's up to us to do the responding. And sometimes we are the ones who cry out, and it's up to God to do the responding. In our passage today, Jonah is calling out to God, and ironically, it's not the initiation of this relationship, right? The initiation of the relationship, at least this very direct and purposeful relationship regarding Nineveh and the prophecy to Nineveh, starts with God calling Jonah, giving him gifts of prophecy and the Holy Spirit to speak in powerful ways that people would listen. And Jonah refuses to go. Jonah refuses to go because he hates the Ninevites, because he's afraid of the Ninevites. They are the superpower nation of the world at the time, and they hate Israel. Israel is next to be gobbled up, and they're chomping, gobbling empire. And so Jonah refuses to go, and we see all the shenanigans that happen as Jonah refuses the call. God's call on his life, his response is, no thank you. And when that no thank you turns into being tossed overboard by his own confession and permission for them to do that to him, right? He, instead of dying, perhaps justifiably in the midst of all these shenanigans, instead finds himself in the belly of a whale or a great fish. And in that miraculous place, stinky and dank as I'm sure it was, he has this call out to God, which references multiple psalms. Jonah is more than familiar with the songs, the cries, the calls to God of his people, and God's response over the years. But he is also more than capable and ready to quote those psalms, but also to write some of his own bars in the middle. He contextualizes it and makes it his own. And so he sings this psalm to God about his own suffering, but also God's promise and his hope. And so there's this beautiful psalm that speaks about desperation and death and hope and light and light and how they all come together in this weedy, dark, muddy, hellish place where God, even despite the dark and the doom and the gloom, God meets him there. And the narrator makes it clear that God's not done with Jonah. And so, Paul, can we play the clip? And hopefully we do have sound. If we don't have sound, we'll cut it because it's kind of pointless without the sound.
One of the ways that we communicate in jazz is through what we call and response. I may play something and someone else will play it back or simply answer what I asked. Maybe something like this. Alvin? And if we do it in a rhythmic fashion, it happens like this. Thank you.
Jazz and its roots in blues, and before that, gospel, and before that, honestly, just the music, the calls and response that slave workers had in the fields in the South. That's and the African rhythms before that. That's where jazz calls back towards when this call and response method. And you had a great example there with the hardest working elbow in jazz percussion there. The way he manages to get different tone and timbre and even pitch out of the snare drum was incredible. But that's the foundation, certainly the foundation for a lot of improvisation in jazz music. And we see that echoed in our liturgies as we have leaders call out and the people respond, as we have God call out and we, the people, respond. All of this in jazz music and gospel music, in psalms, in ancient Hebrew psalms, and in the psalms that we continue to write and sing and play for God today, reflect this basic relationship that we have with God. We're going to be talking about it more next week as we talk about liturgy, not just on Sunday morning, but all week long. But as you go through Scripture, as you think about Jonah's story and other stories in Scripture, I want you to think about that relationship of God calling out to you and your response, of you calling out to God and God's response. This is the basis, before we even get to deeper prayers or deeper theology, this is the basis of our relationship with the Lord, and it looks like many things in many ways, but the beauty of it is, like the jazz piece we just saw, is that often it starts off with just that 1, 2, 3 notes, and then the 1, 2, 3 hits response, and then there's a little rhythm. And then we bring in the rest of the band, and then we take turns. And before you know it, we have a symphony, an absolute orchestration with many parts and many voices that come together as one and continue to grow in relationship and complexity. This is the kingdom of God. This is the image of God in us, reflecting the God who cries out to us. You had an opportunity, an invitation last Sunday to take home Scripture and a candle. You have that opportunity again this Sunday. We're going to keep doing that all through this sermon series. If you need another candle or you didn't get one yet, please take one from the baskets that the volunteers will be handing out at the end of service. There is a new Scripture card with our Scripture reading this week. Read it every day. Light the candle before you read it. Light the candle. You're going to have a quick prayer of listening for God's call. And may your reading and reflection on that and the things that happen in your life this week be a response to God's call in your life. Amen? All right, we got some more music for you, and there's going to be some more participation, some more responding to do.
The scriptures that I'm going to be weaving in and out of the songs is all coming out of Psalm 107. And I invite you to stand for this first part here. You know, some of you are sick because you lived a bad life. Your body's feeling the effects of your sin. You couldn't stand the sight of food. You're so miserable you thought you'd be better off dead.
Then in our desperate condition, we called out to God, and He got us out in the nick of time.
He spoke the word that healed you, that pulled you back from the brink of death.
So thank God for His marvelous love, for His miracle mercy to the children He loves. Offer thanksgiving sacrifices. Tell the world what He's done. Sing it out.
We've come to join the song, sung long before our lives, to raise our voice along, heaven and earth alike. All through this life we lead, and on to eternity, our endless praise we cry. Jesus be glorified.
Jesus be glorified. Be enthroned upon the praises of 1,000 generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And
King. We lift our voice with heaven, singing, worthy, Lord above. Highest praises, Lord of all. Highest praises, Lord of all. Highest praises, Lord of all. Highest praises, you are worthy, Lord of all. Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice in heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. You are worthy, Lord of all.
Some of you have wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding for a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion.
Then in our desperate condition, we called out to God, and he got us out in the nick of time.
He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live.
So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He poured out drops of water
down our parched throats, so starved and hungry got plenty to eat.
God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green, in quiet streams. And even though death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me, you're always with me. Your shepherd's staff comforts me, you are of God forever.
God is my shepherd, I won't be wanting, I won't be wanting. He makes me of green in quiet streams. And even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me. You're always with me. Your shepherd's staff
will follow me, will follow me in the house of God forever. In the house of God forever. In the house of God. Of God forever.
Why don't you go ahead and have a seat?